Grocery shopping is one of those things that must be done, whether you like it or not. But app developers and grocery stores are getting smart about how customers can shop.
Now there are options to shop online and pick up the groceries at the store after someone else has picked all of the items out for you, or you can even have them delivered straight to your home.
These changes are among many that grocery stores are implementing to meet customer demands. Our next guest is here to talk about how grocery stores are evolving.
Valerie Chandna joins us now. She's an assistant professor of management for the Austin E. Coffrin School of Business at UW Green Bay. Valerie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
So we are living in a time when you can get your groceries in a myriad of ways. Even in several rural areas of the state, we have online ordering, we have delivery, and of course, you can simply go to the grocery store and do it yourself. But let's look at online ordering. How does that work?
So like you said, there are three major categories you could have. There's what we call the pure play, which is something like an Amazon Fresh. You know, you just go to their website, you order everything, and, you know, it appears in front of your door. And then you've got the click and collect, which is what you're seeing with Walmart, Target, Pick and Save, where you're going through their app, clicking on things that you want, putting it in a cart, and then you just pull up to their curbside and collect those items. And then finally, the third party, which is kind of a mix of the two situations, which is where you've got private shoppers who you're connected with while they're in the store, and then you tell them that, oh, I want my, you know, apples at this ripeness level and my tomatoes to look, you know, red or green or whatever it is that you like. So those are the three major categories that people are sort of using these days.
And it sounds, particularly with the last one, that you have a little bit more control over, you know, what you're getting if you can just dictate it to someone versus maybe going online, picking a menu, saying, I want five apples, and then, you know, hopefully you're going to get what you want. You know, is there a specific group of people that's really, you know, latched on to this?
It is like you'd sort of make the presumption. There is a tendency for younger users to be utilizing these things, people who are more tech savvy, people that are time-starved, essentially, that this is way more convenient for them than spending that 45 minutes to 1 hour in a store shopping. So you do have this tendency of millennials, Generation Z, using these things. But there's also a pull with where there's caregivers or people who have health issues sort of tending to adopt it as well.
Yeah, actually, we had some engagement on Facebook that really does fall into that. Emily says that she used online shopping with pickup when she was on maternity leaves, and she called it, quote, the best thing ever, end quote. And, you know, she went on to say that she didn't have to take her newborn out of the car and into public in the middle of winter or during the flu season. And, you know, she said she was even able to ask someone to pick it up for her when she just couldn't get out of the house. It does seem as though all of these options might be attractive to folks like Emily, who it's not just that they might not have time, but there are all of these other factors playing into whether or not they can do kind of this basic errand.
Right. And I think you do raise a very good point. I mean, if you have mobility issues, this is this could be a game changer for you. You don't have to be reliant on other people and can, you know, do some things yourself. The other thing, like you said, you know, when she was unable to pick it up, she actually had Emily had someone else pick it up for her. You know, you could have your teenagers pick your groceries for you. You don't trust them to get the right eggs if you just tell them. But if you put it in the app already, the brown cage-free eggs you wanted is exactly what they're going to pick up from the curbside. So it does help.
Yeah, I don't think that my parents would have trusted me at all as a teenager to go pick up the groceries left to my own devices. And a little bit earlier, we were talking about how this seems to have a pretty broad appeal to folks who are millennials, people who are already shopping online, probably. You know, there are numbers out there that, you know, not a huge swath of people, but a sizable amount of millennials are doing this. Is the expectation that it's only going to get bigger as time goes on?
I think that is true because Gen Z is in the 15 to 20 age group right now and already are reaching the same numbers as millennials, even though they don't have as much cash on them to be spending. They're not the big spenders right now. So there is the tendency to hope that the market is only going to grow. It does stabilize after a point. Like and we might talk about this later, but certain countries are seeing widespread adoption, like in South Korea, but now it's sort of tapering off, where it's not growing as rapidly as it initially did. So we might see a huge growth spurt now, but then it might sort of plateau for a little bit.
We are talking to Valerie Chandna right now. She's an assistant professor of management at the UW Green Bay. I mean, she's with us to talk about how online shopping, grocery shopping in particular, is really growing in appeal to people who maybe don't have time, maybe have mobility issues, and other conveniences that grocery stores are offering now. And Valerie, one thing that was interesting to see as we were doing research for this was just how grocery stores in particular have adopted this. It doesn't seem as though they're having to be dragged kicking and screaming to offer these conveniences. How has the grocery store sector really grown to meet this demand?
I think they're sort of trying to make sure that some of the stores that have gone by the wayside, like, you know, Circuit City or Toys R Us, does not become the grocery model. They want to make sure they're anticipating the changes. They want to be prepared for, you know, Amazon's onslaught, which they were anticipating. So I think there's a huge, like you said, they're not being dragged into this. They're doing this willingly. For them, at the end of the day, as long as the bottom line makes sense, they're going to definitely want to adopt this. It's got additional, you know, advantages from their perspective, where they already have these employees who are already stacking things. They can get them to stack a separate section. Unfortunately, some stores are also using robots already. So we do want the people to be employed there, not the robots. But there's a lot of reasons why it makes sense for stores to do this.
That's interesting that you bring up this sort of automation aspect of, grocery delivery and stuff like that, because that is an anxiety that young people have, that they might not have a job moving forward. And this, you know, sometimes with grocery stores is a good entry point into the job market. Have you heard anything from, you know, grocery stores that say this just helps our bottom line by having these robots do it?
I think for some aspects it does help them, like I said, the stacking and shelving, yeah, those kind of things. But they still need employees to do like final checks and bring the items to you. So the billing might be done through the automation system, or locating the items in these giant warehouses or sections might be done by some sort of automatic means. But you will have employees who still have to do those entry-level kind of jobs where they bring it to you, verify items, and you have that final interaction with them where they're like, oh, we had to substitute this for that, is this acceptable, you know, just that final sort of interaction is there. But you will have additional jobs that you'll see where regarding the automation that needs to be there. You will need programmers, app developers, those sort of high-skilled jobs nevertheless.
So it doesn't seem as though those robots that are doing some of the stacking is going to completely revolutionize overnight the grocery store industry. One interesting thing, though, that goes into this, and from my mindset, I've been thinking about people who simply order the groceries online and then go pick it up, but delivery has really blown up as well. Is this a surprise that we're seeing delivery take off the way that we are?
I think it comes down to the same pool of people. If it's the convenience you value over anything else, right? Because there's always an upcharge when it comes to delivery. The curbside pickups, they're letting you pick up at the store prices. But if you're trying to get a delivery, the fee is usually at least $10 or more. But again, if you really just didn't want to go out, or the weather doesn't permit it, right? Like we're in the Midwest, or, you know, people in the South in the summer. I lived in Texas for a while. I would have done anything to not go out in the summer heat to get groceries, including paid, like, of course, the $20 charge. That's perfectly acceptable. Then go out in 100 degrees. So, it comes down to what are you valuing. If you're valuing convenience and time saving, this is the way to go.
We are talking to Valerie Chandna right now. She's an assistant professor of management for the Austin E. Coffrin School of Business at UW Green Bay. We're discussing grocery shopping habits and who's using new methods such as buying groceries online or having them delivered.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have your grocery shopping habits changed? Have you tried online ordering or delivery? Have you used a subscription box meal service? Do you still retail shop somewhere that's locally owned and filled with familiar faces. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Right now, we're picking up the conversation about how you grocery shop, whether you shop a few stores to get your favorite items or just order it all online from an app. We're talking with Valerie Chandna right now. She is an assistant professor of management for the Austin E. Coffrin School of Business at UW Green Bay.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you enjoying stores that offer hot meal bars, in-house sushi, or maybe even the chance to have a glass of wine while you shop? Do you like to order online and have the grocery shopping taken care of by someone else? Do you shop at a grocery store where the employees know you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Now, Valerie, as we just heard, we've been talking about the sort of convenience aspect that's available for grocery shoppers, but it also looks as though grocery stores are still trying to get people in through the door. Some places have sushi bars, as we just heard, salad bars, now just bars with beer and wine that you can take with you while you shop. First, what kind of consumer is that appealing to?
Again, if you have the, I know I'm kind of repeating myself at times, but it comes down to time versus money. If you have time and you don't mind taking, you know, your own sweet time, doing the shopping, enjoying that social aspect of it, you know, you go into the store and you want to do that. I'll just, my own preference is to do online shopping, but my husband likes to do the in-store thing. He's like, oh, it just, you know, it's something that takes my mind off, you know, major things. I can be relaxed, think about nothing while I shop, you know. So if you enjoy that social component or the just all of the, you know, the textures, the sights, the sounds, you do want to go to the store. I mean, and if you're doing it as a couple, again, you might want to just hang out, have a drink, do some shopping, grab dinner after you're done at the sushi bar, like you said, and this, you know, chore becomes like a fun evening out.
So what, it's funny that you mentioned that because some people do think of it as a chore. I knew someone that used to say that going grocery shopping was like taking herself out on a date, which I always thought was very funny. People have different approaches to how they go grocery shopping. I don't want to sound terribly cynical, though, but, you know, isn't the game plan for grocery stores, if they can get you in through the door, that you'll ultimately spend more money in the store?
Exactly. And that is what they do want you to do, that impulse buying, which might be sort of curtailed with an online shopping experience. You might buy precisely what you need, right? But if you're in there, you're picking one item and you see another three that you want. Their aisles are structured in a way whereas you don't grab just a few things and leave. You do have to wander around, walk through different areas and end up grabbing more things than you intended to buy. I mean, it's just how marketing works. That's how they're structured. So they do want you in. They do want you to come spend time at that sushi bar. Or, you know, if you're thinking, oh, you know, dinner can just be picked up at the end here. I can spend an hour and a half shopping instead of 20 minutes because I don't have to go home and make dinner. I can just pick it here when I'm done. So they want you to spend more time, of course. So the online is only if you're refusing to come in and are going to go, if you're going the Amazon way or you're going to some other website, they'd rather you came to their store. But if you're coming to the store, that's what they actually want.
So I want to go to our callers right now. We have Deb in Cross Plains. Hi, Deb. What do you want to say?
Hi. Well, I am an early adopter of online grocery shopping. I've been doing it for almost 15 years now, and it was absolutely a life changer. I can't imagine ever going back into a store.
So, Deb, quick question. How did it first get onto your radar that you could go grocery shopping online if you've been doing it for 15 years?
I started when I lived in Chicago, so bigger market, and there was an early online delivery service there, Peapod, that was kind of one of the pioneers in this, and, you know, just through their advertising and marketing, I had a new baby at home at the time and was a working mom, and I was looking for anything that would be a time saver, and once I eliminated grocery shopping from our schedule, you know, I would never want to go back to losing that 4 hours a week on that task.
So I'm guessing you're not wanting to get involved in the wine or beer bars at a grocery store, right, Deb?
Nope, I'd rather go someplace else for my wine and beer.
Well, Deb, thank you so much for that call. And Valerie, going to what Deb was talking about, she was an early adopter, got in kind of on the ground floor with a startup even in Chicago, in a city. And she kind of marks all of those things, busy mom, wouldn't change it for the world. You know, the thing that really struck me about that was just the fact that, you know, she was originally in a larger setting. Are we seeing sort of a trickle down from an urban setting to smaller cities that are adopting this?
I think you're spot on with that. I mean, the adoptions were definitely, you know, Chicago, New York. When I was in Texas about 10 years ago, online, these curbside pickups were already there, well established. So I think now we're seeing where it makes a financial sense for these stores because they've got the logistics set up to start branching inwards and make sure that all markets are taken care of. I think at this point, any of the grocery stores that already have the space for curbside pickup are tending to adopt it faster versus if a store needs to do additional construction or add a warehouse or things like that, they'll be a little slower. But other than that, if the store is a new construction or the store has enough space, they're adopting it in rural areas as well.
So, you know, we've been talking about convenience. We've been talking about kind of the fun aspect of going in if you want different amenities. Some people are also guided by the fact that they, some ideological preferences they might. We had a caller call in who couldn't stay on the air that said that they liked shopping at a local chain that is employee owned. Some people like going to smaller grocery stores. Are we seeing also a resurgence of smaller brick and mortar areas that appeal to that audience?
I think it's true. And again, this is not necessarily an age specific thing. A lot of people feel that, yes, we need to support local. And this could even be young millennial shoppers or Gen Z shoppers who feel like, no, I want the more personalized or the more local experience rather than a big chain. So you do have people who want that component of, yes, I'm supporting local, I'm supporting small. Doesn't matter if I didn't have 20 cereals to choose from and just have two cereal boxes that I have to opt between. But at least I'm helping a local business. So you are right. There is a resurgence of trying to support businesses near you that you care about.
Darlene on Facebook has used a new technology that some stores are testing out in Wisconsin. She uses Sam's Club's scan and go system where the customer downloads an app. It allows them to just scan the items in their cart as they shop. And when they're done, they pay their total on the app and they just show proof of purchase and then they walk out. It seems as though more and more of the convenience is there. We've seen that also with some of the Amazon stores that have opened that they just scan it and they leave. Are we going to get to a point, too, where it's just so short that maybe, I don't know, a store might anticipate what we want?
I think the example you raise about Amazon is an interesting one because they don't even scan. You actually just walk in. They've got all these sensors that sort of pick up on what you're adding to your cart. I mean, that store is like, the entire ceiling is pretty much covered in sensors and the floor has sensors and there's just sensors everywhere at the Amazon Go store that they're trying out. They've only erred, I believe, in a customer-favored manner in the sense that you may not be charged for an item, but you never get double charged or you never get charged for something you didn't pick. So it is interesting that you have this facility available or this automation possible where you could just go and grab items and leave or go and scan items and leave. But I think there is a point where it may not be as cost effective for all stores to adopt this. For some stores, yes, it'll definitely make sense. It's almost a version of the self-checkout in a way that you're scanning as you go. So you are doing the checkout process yourself. It's just that rather than at the end point, you're doing it during the process. So some people might prefer that. I had a colleague joke that, oh, they're still making us do the work. So there's that perspective as well. But yeah.
So as someone who looks at this pretty broadly, you said that internationally things are changing as well. You know, in the long term, if you had to forecast, you know, cost versus, you know, impact, all that, what are you thinking that we might see more of moving forward?
I think you've seen countries that have sort of pioneered this in a way, like South Korea has. I mean, and a lot of people keep looking at Europe versus US and looking at those statistics. But South Korea, actually, because they have the fastest internet in the world and the greatest broadband penetration in their country, almost all public spaces have free Wi-Fi, have started seeing people use grocery shopping. Almost 25% of their population does their grocery shopping online. But for us, the growth is going to be, like I said, there's going to be like a spurt of growth that we're going to see now as more and more stores adopt this. They're going to have to find sort of the balance of what is it the customers want the most? Is it the click and save? Is that working the best? Is the personal shopper working the best? Is it just digital coupons and online, you know, list creation? Do they just want, you know, Google Map type aisle mapping so people can, you know, figure out which aisle they want to go to? So a lot of different ways this can go. But I think definitely a growth spurt the next decade or so.
In the last, you know, 10 seconds, how do you balance you wanting to online shop and your husband wanting to go into the store?
Most of the time, I guess it depends on who's in charge. So I do a lot of the curbside pickups. It also helps with if it's multiple stores. So my husband will go to one store physically in person himself. And then if I still want a few items from another
All
store.
Right. I'm going to have to cut you off,
oh,
Valerie. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah.
Valerie Chandna is an assistant professor of management for the Austin E. Coffrin School of Business at UW Green Bay. She joined us to talk about the evolution of grocery shopping.